chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. Feeds us with the bread of your word. Thank you for welcoming us back into your presence here today. Nourish us, and refresh us now, and strengthen us. Give us focus and attentiveness on you and what you're saying to us now through the preached word. We pray in Jesus' name. In C.S. Lewis' book, The Screwtape Letters, a senior devil is giving advice to his nephew, a junior devil, about how to tempt believers. According to Screwtape, one of the keys to distracting Christians and to leading them away from God is noise. Screwtape says, "The way we're going to do it is to make the world noisy, so noisy that people will not be able to hear their hearts. We have our best specialists working on it, but we're not quite there." There's a person who's written an up-to-date version of a portion of Screwtape's instruction, which includes this piece of advice. "It is downright delicious that you were able to entice your assignments into believing that quiet and solitude are boring and a waste of time. We must be the demon in the whirlwind, invading their private space, cluttering their innermost being with commotion and nonstop entertainment. Remember, our greatest ally is constant and pervasive stimulation." He goes on to say, "Make these loathsome creatures feel empty without an iPhone in hand or a TV blaring in the background. Tune their alarm clock to a raucous station with bombastic DJs. Convince them that they need to watch the Today Show to keep up with the news. Arrange birthday parties for their children at Chuck E. Cheese and for adults at Dave and Buster's. Call their cell phone on their way to work and especially during meals. Put TV screens in restaurants, waiting rooms, and airplanes, anywhere humans might have time to sit and reflect. Make sure every restaurant serenades them with the latest pop tunes and turn up the volume so it's impossible to have a quiet dinner and a focused conversation." That's his advice to the junior demon. Well, in today's text from Luke, it looks like Martha might be a tool of Screwtape who wants to distract Mary from her devotion to Jesus. Just when Mary's trying to give her full and undivided attention to the Lord, Martha's in the kitchen rattling pots and pans. At first, Martha decides that maybe she could try to work a little louder. That will get Mary's attention. And when that doesn't work, she tries a few of those throat-clearing grunts to maybe get Mary's attention and maybe get her up off her butt. But what happens? Mary, we're told, doesn't budge. So Martha decides to take a more direct approach. You might think she would go straight to Martha or to Mary and through clenched teeth say, "Hey sis, wine coming into the kitchen to help me prepare dinner?" But she doesn't do that either. Instead, Martha takes her case to Jesus and expects him to intervene on her behalf. Maybe she thinks that since Mary's so good at paying attention to Jesus, if he tells Mary to go in the kitchen and help, she'll do it. Or maybe Martha thinks that Jesus himself is the distraction in this situation. He's the one keeping Mary from her duties in the kitchen. So whatever her exact thinking, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me with the work to do? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," answers Jesus in a gentle yet scolding tone. "You are worried," he says, "and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, there's certainly been plenty of debate and discussion about exactly what Jesus means in this situation. It's not easy to sort out why he praises silent and serene Mary and is critical of hectic and hardworking Martha. After all, Martha is only doing something that was good and right, expected, and valued during that day and time. She was showing hospitality. She's welcoming and showing kindness to strangers. As Luke says earlier in our text, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. They were on their way. This was a stop along the way. And earlier, you may remember that when Jesus sent out his followers, he said, "Whenever you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you." So in our passage, he's doing what he told his disciples to do. He's receiving hospitality. And Martha's doing what was valued and expected. She's showing hospitality. She's actually participating in the mission of Jesus in this way. And that's a good thing. So we need to be careful about coming down too hard on Martha for her busyness in the kitchen. She's just being a good host in a culture where hospitality was highly valued. But in this particular case, Luke describes her as distracted. And Jesus tells her that she's worried and upset about many things. Earlier in the parable of the sower, Jesus had talked about seed that fell in different spots. Some of it fell among thorns, which he said represents those where the word isn't received because they're preoccupied, he said, with life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Maybe Jesus thinks that Martha's flurry of activity in the kitchen falls into that category of the parable of the seeds. There's a Spanish chef. He's well known for a lot of his innovations in cooking and his creative restaurants. His restaurant there in Spain has been ranked as the fourth best restaurant in the world and is known for its creativity, its advances in the culinary world. And in an episode of the Netflix show, The Final Table, he talks about his pursuit of innovation and the kinds of things that have helped him be so creative and take an unorthodox approach in his work. Namely, that he closes his restaurant for a third of the year, every year. He said, "We close the restaurant for 4 months a year. We realize that if we wanted to do something truly important, we have to stop, reflect, and discover new ideas." So hospitality, it's good and important. But at this point in the evening, Jesus would probably recommend that Martha close things down in the kitchen or at least step aside for a while from what she's doing in order to reflect on matters that are even more important. This story, it's less of a condemnation of Martha and what she's doing, and more of a commendation of Mary and what she's doing, because while Martha is busy preparing to feed her guests, what's Mary doing? Well, she's busy receiving a different kind of food, the nourishment of the Word of God, which she and all of us desperately need. And from the standpoint of the Christian life, both of those are really necessary. Sometimes being a faithful disciple and showing devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ means activity, deeds of mercy, acts of compassion and kindness, those kinds of things. Remember that our text here today follows right on the heels of the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus tells a religious leader there at the end of the story, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And then we get the story of Martha and Mary, where the accent is on, instead of going and doing, the accent here is on slow down and reflect. Pay attention. And side by side, these stories remind us that in the life of a faithful disciple, active ministry and life-giving word, serving and being served, these go together. They go hand in hand. I like the way that one commentator has summarized it. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. Now, in pandemic circumstances like the present, we might feel like we're more in a situation where the accent is on slow down and listen and reflect. After all, so many of the things that we're accustomed to going and doing, they're either scaled down or they're canceled or they're closed. Various parts of our lives have reopened to some degree, but we're still overall in more of a stay at home, keep your distance mode or atmosphere of living. And sadly, one of the great losses during this whole period of slowing down or stopping completely, one of the things we've lost during a lot of this is scaled down hospitality and hospitality kinds of experiences. We've missed out, haven't we, on a lot of family gatherings, restaurant celebrations, church fellowship meals, and other sorts of opportunities to open our homes, open our hearts, set the table for others, those kinds of things. So what do we do? What do we do when we've got all this extra space and time to sit and think and reflect? What do we do? This is where technology shows up with an answer, isn't it? You may be spending more time at home, but thanks to high tech, you can do more of what you usually do, but do it from home. You can work from home, go to school from home, shop from home, socialize from home, worship from home. While this situation is far from ideal, on the one hand, we can be thankful that we have these technological tools that enable us to carry on to some degree in our daily tasks, in our relationships, in our activities and responsibilities. But at the same time, technology, on the other hand, also creates a lot of the biggest opportunities for distraction. The same tools that enable us to work and learn and form community and worship and do business can also divert, deceive, distract us from some of life's most important and urgent business. Rather than attending often to the most significant matters in front of us, we end up clicking link after link after link after link that takes us to more electronic information that may fill us up in different ways, but may leave us empty, or may not really bring about the kind of change and transformation in our lives and who we want to be. There's an author named Andy Crouch, and he talks about a period in his life when he took a break from all the screens that are in his life in one way or another. The desktop, the laptop, the tablet, the email, the television. He set all of them aside for a while, though he did keep his phone for messaging family and friends and staying in touch that way. He said that compared to his normal life, in which a rectangle is glowing in front of me 7 to 9 hours a day, it was a dramatic and initially disorienting change. And in reflecting back on that experience, you might expect him to talk about the kinds of things that he lost, the kinds of things that he missed, the kinds of things that were absent from his life and experience. But most of all, through that experience, he recalled especially the things, not that he lost, but the things that he gained in the process. He worked on his piano skills for the first time in 20 years. He started exercising more. He started reading books even more. He finished projects around the house. But the biggest blessing of this season, he says, was, quote, a small measure of attention. Learning to pay attention, be attentive. He summarized it this way, an ability to calm the noise enough to read and cry over a story, or to listen with a friend to one short passage of scripture read over and over 4 times with long silences in between. He recaptured the gift and blessing of a small measure of attention, attentiveness to others and to what's around him. So there in Martha's house, with pots and pans rattling there in the background, Mary laid aside everything else. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she experienced that blessing of a small measure of attention. Jesus tells Martha about what's important here in our scripture passage, this small measure of attention, undistracted, undiverted attentiveness to the teachings of our Lord. Are we getting a message or something? Attentiveness to the Lord. See, what Martha was doing here in this situation, remember, it was valued. It was important and necessary. But in that space and moment, what Mary was doing was most necessary. Food and hospitality were important, but the bread of the word was most important. Jesus tells Martha that only one thing is needed. And that thing, it turns out, is actually more than just a thing. It's a person. The person of Jesus himself. He is the most needed thing. So in this season of uncertainty, we've been forced, haven't we, to slow down, step back, surrender some of our busyness and our sense of control. There are still, even in the midst of all that, plenty of different kinds of things that clamor for our attention. Just because we live in this kind of pandemic situation doesn't mean that all the noise has stopped, or that all the distractions or potential distractions have died down or gone away. Now, as much as ever, we need to be discerning. We need to be discerning. We need to have that Word of God in our lives that guides us and enables us to distinguish between right and wrong, between wisdom and foolishness, between falsehood and truth, between what's good and what's not, to distinguish between what's passing and what's really eternal, all those kinds of things. We need to be able to recognize, not only in a particular situation, what is good and important, but what is best and most important and most urgent and most calling for our attentiveness. We need to be able to differentiate in our lives between, well, now, is this just something calling for my brief and momentary affection? Or is this something that's really worth my lasting love and devotion? To be able to distinguish between those kinds of things in our lives, in this atmosphere where we're constantly bombarded by many, many, many things, we need to be able to focus on the one thing, Jesus, the thing, the one who's most needed and matters. Let's pray. God of the Word, thank you for sowing the seed here into our lives this day. We pray that it will fall among us into good soil, where we're not so distracted or caught up in things that are just brief and momentary and passing, that we'll miss out on what's eternal and lasting and most urgent and pressing. We pray that while we go about our daily lives doing as you've called us to, that we'll also slow down and stop and be attentive to you in our lives as well. Give us the word, speak into our lives so that we'll have discernment to be able to tell the difference between things that are clamoring day after day for our attentiveness and our focus and our effort. Give us that discernment through your word. We just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.